a few weeks ago, I guess it was 4 weeks ago now, in the December 14 church bulletin, you might remember that I had written about the trip that I was about to take. I had written that it would be hard to leave family and friends in Whitehorse, that especially at Christmas time, that it was important for us to go down south to visit family, because we need to keep close connections with siblings, with cousins, with parents, with grandparents, aunts and uncles, that was important. And so we were bound to go. So off we went just a few weeks ago. We had a little bit of apprehension, which is normal when you're taking a long winter trip from the Yukon. It was rather cold when we left. But we also went with much enthusiasm. We were excited about going and picking up Nora in Calgary and going down to California and spending time with our relatives down there. We were excited. Well, as many of you know, the last few weeks have been rather trying, to say the least. We had the unfortunate experience of having to do some major engine replacement down in California, and my engine and I got to become good friends, at least the new one. We got to know each other very well. It spilled oil all over me, and I got to deal with its bolts and nuts and all that kind of stuff, and we had a time, all right. But the difficulty of our experience in California was not the cost, because really, you know, we got away very fortunate down in California cost-wise. It probably cost us about 40% of what it would have cost us up here if I had to do it here. So I'm not complaining about that. And really, it wasn't even a matter of inconvenience, because, you know, what better place to have to do that than, you know, when you're already at a destination? It sure beats having to do something major like that on the road. The problem was in the timing, the waiting, the uncertainty of when the job would be done, how long it would take, if we would run into further problems, and that sort of thing. Because, you see, Jerry wasn't with us, and so we hired a mechanic who was helpful, but he was very inconsistent. You never knew when he would actually come. He said he'd be there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and so I'd get there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you'd wait. And you'd call, and you'd wait, and you'd wait. And sometimes he'd answer his phone, and sometimes he wouldn't. And by 1 o'clock, you're starting to really get annoyed. And many of you know, I'm not the most patient person around, okay? And so you could just imagine it for me. Day after day, it was the same thing. It didn't change. And so we got used to it, you know. He'd say, you know, I'll be there at 10 o'clock. We'd figure, well, 2:30, he might show up. Finally, my brother and I virtually gave up on the guy's help. And in the end, we worked through the night, literally 26 hours, nonstop, to get the job finished. And an hour later, I was on the road. All that to say, it was a rather stressful time. Probably for me, one of the most stressful times that I can honestly remember. I was not a happy camper. You know, I was not a good guy to be around. I wasn't mad. I was just stressed. It was awful. It really was. It was awful, but I got to say, it was worth it. And the reason why it was worth it is because we were with our family. You see, this trip was not about taking a holiday. The trip was not about, you know, seeing exotic places. It wasn't about putting my feet up and relaxing. It wasn't about sleeping in. And it certainly wasn't about gaining 10 pounds or more, I'm sure. From the start, the purpose of this trip was an investment in the family. That's what it was about, an investment in the family. The purpose of the trip was for my kids to be together, and they spent about 120 hours together in the van. It was for them to see their cousins, their grandparents, their aunt and uncle, their cousins. It was about building relationships. It was about people seeing other people. Because you can't build a relationship with someone you don't spend time with, you don't invest in. Just like you can't, or at least you shouldn't, be able to withdraw funds out of a bank account unless you put the funds in the first place, so also you can't reap the benefits of family relationship unless you put some investment into it. And this trip really was an investment in relationships. You've heard me say before that 40 and 50 year anniversaries don't happen by accident. They're the result of hard work and commitment. And the same is true about family relationships. Good family relationships, they don't just happen by accident or because you're lucky. They happen because of an investment that you make. And we need to make those investments. They're the result of commitment and sacrifice. And there are many, many people who don't know what a good family relationship is about. There are many people, some here perhaps, who haven't experienced a loving home. There are brothers and sisters who hardly communicate with one another. It happens. There are parents and their adult children who won't talk to one another, who wouldn't want to go see one another, who have experienced so much hurt that the mere mention of family brings pain to their heart. And so this morning, I want to speak on the topic of investing in your family, because family is what we need. Nobody likes to be alone. We all need family. But before I do so, I want to preface the message with just two points that I want us to be clear on. First of all, I want you to understand, and you already know this, that there is no such thing as a perfect family. Okay, it does not exist. No matter how good a certain family looks to you, how everybody gets along perfectly well, and how they all sit down at dinner every day, and everything else, that isn't the reality. It doesn't work that way. It might look that way, but it doesn't work that way. There is no perfect family. Okay? That's not to say that we can't strive to have a better family, but the perfect family, first of all, does not exist. I don't have a perfect family. You don't have a perfect family. We have to deal with the family we have. I read a quip, by the way, about why the pilgrims were so excited on that first Thanksgiving and they gave so much thanks. It was the fact that they didn't have to go back to England and be with their relatives anymore. Okay. I don't know. They didn't have a perfect family, I guess. Secondly, when I speak of family, I'm not talking about just your immediate family. Okay? If you have a husband or a wife and kids, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your extended family. Talking about not just those who are living in your household, but those who are living outside of your household as well. They are part of your family. They're important. So whether you're single or married and have lots of children, this message really is for you, because we all have, most all of us have extended family. And if you're the exception, and there are some who really have no family whatsoever, here, there, or anywhere, then I just want to encourage you to take the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 to heart, because these words are not just something to console someone with. They are the words of Jesus that are really meaningful to us. When people came to Jesus and said his mother and brothers were outside wanting to speak to him, how did Jesus reply? He said in Matthew 12, verse 48, he said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And then pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And so in reality, if you're part of the kingdom of God, you have family. You have family here. We are a family. We are a church family. We're called to be family. But as I said, family doesn't just happen by wishful thinking. It takes a lot of investment. You have to make some deposits. And I want to share with you some of the things that we need to deposit on a regular basis. The first thing we need to really focus in on as far as a deposit is our time. Now, this really goes without saying, but our time so easily slips away from us, and we forget that we need to invest time with our family, whether it's our immediate family, with our children. Of course, that takes more time. You know, we can't spend as much time with an uncle who lives far away as we do with our own kids at home. But everything does need some time. Every relationship, whether it's our immediate family, takes more, but even our extended family, it needs time. All our relationships require time. You cannot build a relationship without an investment in time. One of the tragic misconceptions, I call it, that people have grasped, adopted, is the concept of quality time. And I'll tell you, I've said it before, I don't like the term. To me, the term quality time is not good. It gives a bad, it gives us a wrong thought that somehow we're doing a good thing by taking all of our love and care and everything else and concentrating it into a super capsule and giving that one little thing because it's really good quality. You know what I mean? It's super quality. So, you know, 3 minutes is good for the whole day because it's super good quality, you know. It doesn't work that way. You know, it might work in your laundry, you know, when you have concentrated Tide, you know. Just a little bit will go a long way, but it doesn't wash in the home. Yeah. Quality time. We need lots of quantity time with our family. Quality time is good. Make your quantity time quality time, and it'll be even better. So whether it's your immediate family, your extended family, you need to invest. You need to make a deposit of time. What kind of time are you depositing in your family? Think about it for a moment. What kind of time? Does your family get priority time? Do they get leftover time? Do they get you when you're at your best? Or do they get you when you're at your worst? When you're exhausted, when you're finished, when you're worn out? We need to consider the time that we invest in our families. And not just our home families, but our extended families. Can't do it as often, but every once in a while, they need time as well. The second thing we really need to invest in is sacrifice. Building a family relationship involves sacrifice. It's not all about me. It's not all about what I want, about what's good for me. It's about what's good for others. When I talk about sacrifice, I'm talking about focusing on the other instead of on myself. The difficulty, of course, is that we are so focused on ourselves. That's how we're raised. That's how we're trained. We're taught that, you know, you need to look after yourself. You need to be able to take care of yourself. You need to be able to become independent, you know, and all of that sort of thing. And those are not bad things. They're not bad things. But we get so drawn to looking after ourselves that we forget that there are others. And there are siblings, there are cousins, there are aunts, there are parents, there are sometimes very elderly parents, and so on and so forth, that we need to make a sacrifice for them. Take a look with me in Acts chapter 2. The church was the family of God. And in order for the church to be the family, each member had to care for the other members of the family. Acts chapter 2, verse 45 says that they gave to anyone as he had need. Now, that's not an easy thing to do. But it needs to be a priority to give. To give means to make a sacrifice, to do without, to think of someone else, to put someone ahead of ourselves. That's what they did. That's why the church was close. That's why they were a family. That's what we need to do. Sometimes going out of your way involves sacrifice. Sometimes sacrifice means giving of your money. Sometimes sacrifice means giving of your time. Sometimes sacrifice means letting go of something that was done and just putting it behind you. When our thoughts are just about ourselves, it's hard to think of sacrifice. Family requires sacrifice. Without sacrifice, we aren't going to have family relationships. And the third thing I want to share on family is that's really critical, and you already know this, is forgiveness. Because no matter who you are, no matter what family you're talking about, sooner or later there's going to be hurt. There's going to be someone who disappoints you. It happens in every family. It happens in the church too. We are a family. And where there is hurt, where there is something that has happened, we need to be people who need to forgive. Maybe something was said. Maybe something was done. Maybe there was some misunderstanding. And sooner or later, you get disappointed. You know, if you ask people who've been married for many years what the secret is to their long marriage, one thing that they will often come up with is their readiness to forgive, is to not hold things against one another, to not hold grudges. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Now, I know sometimes this is easier said than done. I know that. In fact, all the things that I've said are a whole lot easier said than done. And don't think I have all of these down perfectly. I don't. But these are the things we need to invest. These are the things that we need to keep in the forefront of our minds. These are the things that we need to keep pouring into our families. Time, sacrifice, forgiveness. Because Satan would have us have our families be torn apart so quickly. And he delights in that. God wants us to be together. God wants us to grow together. And I know it's not all up to you, but we can do what we can. We can do our part. Forgive each other as the Lord forgave you. The Spanish have a story about a father and a son who became estranged. The son had left home, and the father later set out to find him. He searched for months for his son with no success. Finally, in desperation, the father turned to the newspaper for help. His ad was simple: "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." And the story goes that on Saturday, there was countless young men named Paco who were standing in front of the newspaper office looking for their father. You know, families today are filled with people who are desperately seeking reconciliation. And if your family is like that, you know, my heart goes out to you. It's hard. I've seen it in people's lives. But don't give up on your family. Continue to invest in them. You can only do what you can. You cannot change people. You cannot force people to become something that they're not. But you can do your part. You can still invest your time as best as you can. You could make sacrifices. And it's really hard sometimes when those are not returned. And perhaps most importantly, and maybe even most difficult, you can forgive, even when people don't ask for forgiveness, and set that person free. Set yourself free from grudges and so forth. I want to encourage you this morning to do your part. Just like a family that is drifting apart, it happens a little at a time. Sometimes coming back together also happens a little at a time. Instead of looking for a great big wonderful all of a sudden restoration, which is nice. Sometimes we should aim for a little bit at a time. Just a little bit of communication here, a little bit of support there, a little bit of sacrifice there. And hopefully and prayerfully and by God's grace, we can find restoration for our families. So I want to encourage you this morning, if your family background and your family situation today is a good one, you know, and you have good thoughts of your family, consider yourself blessed, doubly blessed, triply blessed. But if not, don't give up on your family. Continue to invest in them. Continue to love. Continue to pour out for them. And maybe something will change. At the very least, you will have done your part for the kingdom of God and for the people that you love. And lastly, don't forget that the church is part of your family as well. We are part of the family of God. And there are people here who we need to be family to. It doesn't take long to find people who need family. So let's continue to be family one to another and to those in our own families as well. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, this morning I just pray, Father, that you would be with each person here. You know each family situation is unique, and there are some who are enjoying great, healthy, loving homes and families, and there are certainly others who have experienced anything but the warmth and love and closeness of a family relationship. And Lord, I pray for each one, that especially those who have been through difficult times, Lord God, that your hand would be upon them, Lord. That you would just remind them, Lord God, that we, your people, are family to them, Lord God, and that we can love and support and care for one another. But Lord, especially for those who've had a hard time, Lord, I just pray, God, that you'd help them, Lord, to continue to not give up, Lord God, to do their part, to forgive where they can forgive, Lord God, to make sacrifice where they can do that, and to invest of their time, Lord God. And I just pray, Father, that you'd help each one, Lord, at the point of their need today, Lord, that we may become men and women who are honoring you in all of our relationships, Lord God, to your honor and to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.